Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, I am so happy that you have joined me today. It's a beautiful day. We are here on a Monday morning. It is nice and bright and snowy here in New York City, but you know what we do every single Monday. This is the day that we come together and we really learn lessons from ancient wisdom. We have our Bible studies, of course, on Thursdays, but I believe, and as do most of you who listen to me every single day, that is not the only source of information from which we can gain knowledge to really better our lives and learn who we are. So I'm just so happy you're with me. I've got a great program today. We're going to listen to Bits and Pieces from A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. You know, some people kind of go back and forth, but if we really just listen to what he's saying and listen sans all of the extra stuff that people say and really take it to heart. You know, this is a situation where you have to chew the meat and spit out the fat. Everything that he says may not apply to you, but you know something? A lot of it may, and a lot of it helps me. I'm a Christian, and I love God, and I have gone to church, you know, most my entire life, but I still believe we can learn something from everybody. So I am so glad you're joining me today. We have a full show. We're going to listen and digest. The chat room is open, so we will be chatting while the lesson is playing. Just some quick things that I'd like to share with you. If you are not following me on Twitter, I welcome the opportunity for you to follow me on Twitter. Just it's /liferemix, liferemixed. So please follow me on Twitter. Also, if you, I was on Pastor Monica McDonald's show Saturday, and we had an amazing two-hour show about entrepreneurship. It was powerful and just really fun. So I just want to share with you, for those of you that may be interested in my coaching services, please log on to impactlifecoaching.info, and that's I-M-P-A-C-T, lifecoaching.info. It's all one word, and it will take you directly to my coaching site. And actually, just a big shout-out, too, to Pastor Montan McDonald, because Anointed Poet called me about 10 to 9 last night. We were on the phone for about 4 or 5 minutes, and he had a breakthrough about his poetic ministry just in those few short minutes that we were together on the phone. So please, if you're interested in small business coaching or development, or just some tips to help get you on your way, please feel free to log on to impactlifecoaching.info. And then, as always, you can check out my blog, which is cybrown.com. So thank you so much. You are listening to Life Remix Radio, and I come at you every single day, every weekday, not Saturday and Sunday, but Monday through Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So thank you so much for listening to me while you're at work, while you're traveling. And as always, you can log on to www.liferemixedradio.com to see an archive of past shows. You can download them, listen to your iPod, and really have a good time. One last thing, big shout out to our engineer, Dewan, who is in Atlanta. He hit me up on Facebook last night to tell me it was snowing in Atlanta. I remember the years I lived there, it snowed once. It was just a trace of snow, and they shut the whole city down. So for me, that was absolutely hysterical. I was like, I cannot believe they shut the whole city down. But Birmingham, Alabama got snow, and I believe it's because they don't have plows. So big shout out to Dewan, who snowed in the ATL, and also our other Dewan, who facilitates our Bible studies, our Ecclesia Bible study every Thursday. I know he snowed in as well, so I'm going to have to send him a text message to check on him as well. So on that note, today we are going to get right into our Great Beginnings show, and that's what our Monday shows are called, Great Beginnings, where we hear lessons from great people who share with us resources, tips, and solutions to live an absolutely amazing life. So thank you so much for listening to Life Remix Radio. It's your girl, Cy Brown, and today we are listening to A New Earth by Mr. Eckhart Tolle. Thank you so much, and it's your girl, Cy Brown, right here on LifeRemixRadio.com.
Can you hear the mountain stream?
A Zen master was walking in silence with one of his disciples along a mountain trail. When they came to an ancient cedar tree, they sat down under it for a simple meal of some rice and vegetables. After the meal, the disciple, a young monk who had not yet found the key to the mystery of Zen, broke the silence by asking the master, "Master, how do I enter Zen?" He was, of course, able to hear the mountain stream. The master stopped, looked at him, raised his finger and said, "Enter Zen from there." Right action. Can you hear the mountain stream? A Zen master was walking in silence with one of his disciples along a mountain trail. When they came to an ancient cedar tree, they sat down under it for a simple meal of some rice and vegetables. After the meal, the disciple, a young monk who had not yet found the key to the mystery of Zen, broke the silence by asking the master, "Master, how do I enter Zen?" He was, of course, inquiring how to enter the state of consciousness, which is Zen. The master remained silent. Almost 5 minutes passed while the disciple anxiously waited for an answer. He was about to ask another question when the master suddenly spoke. "Do you hear the sound of that mountain stream?" The disciple had not been aware of any mountain stream. He had been too busy thinking about the meaning of Zen. Now, as he began to listen for the sound, his noisy mind subsided. At first he heard nothing. Then, his thinking gave way to heightened alertness, and suddenly he did hear the hardly perceptible murmur of a small stream in the far distance. "Yes, I can hear it now," he said. The master raised his finger and, with a look in his eyes that in some way was both fierce and gentle, said, "Enter Zen from there." The disciple was stunned. It was his first Satori, a flash of enlightenment. He knew what Zen was without knowing what it was that he knew. They continued on their journey in silence. The disciple was amazed at the aliveness of the world around him. He experienced everything as if for the first time. Gradually, however, he started thinking again. The alert stillness became covered up again by mental noise. And before long, he had another question. "Master," he said, "I've been thinking. What would you have said if I hadn't been able to hear the mountain stream?" The master stopped, looked at him, raised his finger and said, "Enter Zen from there." Right action. The ego asks, "How can I make this situation fulfill my needs?" Or, "How can I get to some other situation that will fulfill my needs?" Presence is a state of inner spaciousness. When you are present, you ask, "How do I respond to the needs of this situation, of this moment?" In fact, you don't even need to ask the question. You are still, alert, open to what is. You bring a new dimension into the situation, space. Then you look and you listen. Thus you become one with the situation. When instead of reacting against a situation, you merge with it, the solution arises out of the situation itself. Actually, it is not you, the person, who is looking and listening, but the alert stillness itself. Then, if action is possible or necessary, you take action, or rather, right action happens through you. Right action is action that is appropriate to the whole. When the action is accomplished, the alert, spacious stillness remains. There's nobody who raises his arms in a gesture of triumph, shouting a defiant, "Yay!" There's no one who says, "Look, I did that." All creativity comes out of inner spaciousness. Once the creation has happened and something has come into form, you have to be vigilant so that the notion of me or mine does not arise. If you take credit for what you accomplished, the ego has returned and the spaciousness has become obscured. Perceiving without naming. Most people are only peripherally aware of the world that surrounds them, especially if their surroundings are familiar. The voice in the head absorbs the greater part of their attention. Some people feel more alive when they travel and visit unfamiliar places or foreign countries, because at those times sense perception, experiencing, takes up more of their consciousness than thinking. They become more present. Others remain completely possessed by the voice in the head even then. Their perceptions and experiences are distorted by instant judgments. They haven't really gone anywhere. Only their body is traveling, while they remain where they have always been, in their head. This is most people's reality. As soon as something is perceived, it is named, interpreted, compared with something else, liked, disliked, or called good or bad by the phantom self, the ego. They are imprisoned in thought forms, in object consciousness. You do not awaken spiritually until the compulsive and unconscious naming ceases. Or at least you become aware of it and thus are able to observe it as it happens. It is through this constant naming that the ego remains in place as the unobserved mind. Whenever it ceases, and even when you just become aware of it, there is inner space, and you are not possessed by the mind anymore. Choose an object close to you, a pen, a chair, a cup, a plant, and explore it visually, that is to say, look at it with great interest, almost curiosity. Avoid any objects with strong personal associations that remind you of the past, such as where you bought it, who gave it to you, and so on. Also avoid anything that has writing on it, such as a book or a bottle. It would stimulate thought. Without straining, relaxed but alert, give your complete attention to the object, every detail of it. If thoughts arise, don't get involved in them. It is not the thoughts you are interested in, but the act of perception itself. Can you take the thinking out of the perceiving? Can you look without the voice in your head commenting, drawing conclusions, comparing, or trying to figure something out? After a couple of minutes or so, let your gaze wander around the room or wherever you are, your alert attention lighting up each thing that it rests upon. Then listen to any sounds that may be present. Listen to them in the same way as you looked at the things around you. Some sounds may be natural, water, wind, birds, while others are man-made. Some may be pleasant, others unpleasant. However, don't differentiate between good and bad. Allow each sound to be as it is, without interpretation. Here too, relaxed but alert attention is the key. When you look and listen in this way, you may become aware of a subtle and at first perhaps hardly noticeable sense of calm. Some people feel it as a stillness in the background. Others call it peace. When consciousness is no longer totally absorbed by thinking, some of it remains in its formless, unconditioned, original state. This is inner space. Who is the experiencer? What you see and hear, taste, touch and smell are, of course, sense objects. They are what you experience. But who is the subject, the experiencer? If you now say, for example, well, of course, I, Jane Smith, senior accountant, 45 years old, divorced, mother of two, American, am the subject, the experiencer. You are mistaken. Jane Smith and whatever else becomes identified with the mental concept of Jane Smith are all objects of experience, not the experiencing subject. Every experience has three possible ingredients: sense perceptions, thoughts or mental images, and emotions. Jane Smith, senior accountant, 45 years old, mother of two, divorced, American. These are all thoughts and therefore part of what you experience the moment you think these thoughts. They, and whatever else you can say and think about yourself, are objects, not the subject. They are experience, not the experiencer. You can add 1,000 more definitions, thoughts, of who you are, and by doing so will certainly increase the complexity of the experience of yourself, as well as your psychiatrist's income, but, in this way, you will not end up with the subject, the experiencer who is prior to all experience, but without whom there would be no experience.
Before we move on to the next component of today's lesson, just want to say thank you to caller from 770 who's listening into the show. And I see True just joined us in the chat room. Thank you so much. Today we are starting our week off right, and I titled today's show Great Beginnings, just so we can really, really get our week started off right. I listened to the CD over the weekend, and there were little nuggets of wisdom that I think can be very, very helpful to all of us as we continue to move along our path of being great people, friends, and co-sharers of this earth. True, I see that you're listening, but you're not in the chat room. It's all good because today is a much more calm show. So today is really just a listening show anyway, and it will be available for download after. So if you missed the beginning, feel free to definitely just download the file later. So we're going to pull us right back into A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
So who is the experiencer? You are. And who are you? Consciousness. And what is consciousness? This question cannot be answered. The moment you answer it, you have falsified it, made it into another object. Consciousness, the traditional word for which is spirit, cannot be known in the normal sense of the word, and seeking it is futile. All knowing is within the realm of duality, subject and object, the knower and the known. The subject, the I, the knower without which nothing could be known, perceived, thought or felt, must remain forever unknowable. This is because the I has no form. Only forms can be known, and yet without the formless dimension, the world of form could not be. It is the luminous space in which the world arises and subsides. That space is the life that I am. It is timeless. I am timeless, eternal. What happens in that space is relative and temporary. Pleasure and pain, gain and loss, birth and death. The greatest impediment to the discovery of inner space, the greatest impediment to finding the experiencer, is to become so enthralled by the experience that you lose yourself in it. It means consciousness is lost in its own dream. You get taken in by every thought, every emotion, and every experience to such a degree that you are in fact in a dreamlike state. This has been the normal state of humanity for thousands of years. Although you cannot know consciousness, you can become conscious of it as yourself. You can sense it directly in any situation, no matter where you are. You can sense it here and now, as your very presence, the inner space in which the words on this page are perceived and become thoughts. It is the underlying I am. The words you are reading and thinking are the foreground, and the I am is the substratum, the underlying background to every experience, thought, feeling. The breath. Discover inner space by creating gaps in the stream of thinking. Without those gaps, your thinking becomes repetitive, uninspired, devoid of any creative spark, which is how it still is for most people on the planet. You don't need to be concerned with the duration of those gaps. A few seconds is good enough. Gradually, they will lengthen by themselves, without any effort on your part. More important than their length is to bring them in frequently, so that your daily activities and your stream of thinking become interspersed with space. Someone recently showed me the annual prospectus of a large spiritual organization. When I looked through it, I was impressed by the wide choice of interesting seminars and workshops. It reminded me of a smorgasbord, one of those Scandinavian buffets where you can take your pick from a huge variety of enticing dishes. The person asked me whether I could recommend one or two courses. "I don't know," I said. "They all look so interesting." "But I do know this," I added. "Be aware of your breathing as often as you're able, whenever you remember. Do that for 1 year, and it will be more powerfully transformative than attending all of these courses. And it's free." Being aware of your breathing takes attention away from thinking and creates space. It is one way of generating consciousness. Although the fullness of consciousness is already there as the unmanifested, we are here to bring consciousness into this dimension. Be aware of your breathing. Notice the sensation of the breath. Feel the air moving in and out of your body. Notice how the chest and abdomen expand and contract slightly with the in and out breath. One conscious breath is enough to make some space where before there was the uninterrupted succession of one thought after another. One conscious breath, two or three would be even better, taken many times a day, is an excellent way of bringing space into your life. Even if you meditated on your breathing for 2 hours or more, which some people do, one breath is all you ever need to be aware of, indeed, ever can be aware of. The rest is memory or anticipation, which is to say, thought. Breathing isn't really something that you do, but something that you witness as it happens. Breathing happens by itself. The intelligence within the body is doing it. All you have to do is watch it happening. There's no strain or effort involved. Also, notice the brief cessation of the breath, particularly the still point at the end of the out-breath, before you start breathing in again. Many people's breath is unnaturally shallow. The more you are aware of the breath, the more its natural depth will re-establish itself. Because breath has no form as such, it has since ancient times been equated with spirit, the formless one life. God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. The German word for breathing, Atmen, is derived from the ancient Indian Sanskrit word, Atman, meaning the indwelling divine spirit, or God within. The fact that breath has no form is one of the reasons why breath awareness is an extremely effective way of bringing space into your life, of generating consciousness. It is an excellent meditation object precisely because it is not an object, has no shape or form. The other reason is that breath is one of the most subtle and seemingly insignificant phenomena, the least thing that, according to Nietzsche, makes up the best happiness. Whether or not you practice breath awareness as an actual formal meditation is up to you. Formal meditation, however, is no substitute for bringing space consciousness into everyday life. Being aware of your breath forces you into the present moment, the key to all inner transformation. Whenever you are conscious of the breath, you are absolutely present. You may also notice that you cannot think and be aware of your breathing. Conscious breathing stops your mind. But far from being in a trance or half asleep, you are fully awake and highly alert. You are not falling below thinking, but rising above it. And if you look more closely, you will find that those two things, coming fully into the present moment and ceasing thinking without loss of consciousness, are actually one and the same, the arising of space consciousness. Addictions. A long-standing compulsive behavior pattern may be called an addiction. And an addiction lives inside you as a quasi-entity or sub-personality, an energy field that periodically takes you over completely. It even takes over your mind, the voice in your head, which then becomes the voice of the addiction. It may be saying, "You've had a rough day, you deserve a treat. Why deny yourself the only pleasure that is left in your life?" And so, if you are identified with the internal voice due to lack of awareness, you find yourself walking to the fridge and reaching for that rich chocolate cake. At other times, the addiction may bypass the thinking mind completely and you suddenly find yourself puffing on a cigarette or holding a drink. "How did that get into my hand?" Taking the cigarette out of the packet and lighting it, or pouring yourself a drink, were actions performed in complete unconsciousness. If you have a compulsive behavior pattern such as smoking, overeating, drinking, TV watching, internet addiction, or whatever it may be, this is what you can do. When you notice the compulsive need arising in you, stop and take 3 conscious breaths. This generates awareness. Then for a few minutes be aware of the compulsive urge itself as an energy field inside you. Consciously feel that need to physically or mentally ingest or consume a certain substance, or the desire to act out some form of compulsive behavior. Then take a few more conscious breaths. After that you may find that the compulsive urge has disappeared for the time being. Or you may find that it still overpowers you and you cannot help but indulge or act it out again. Don't make it into a problem. Make the addiction part of your awareness practice in the way described above. As awareness grows, addictive patterns will weaken and eventually dissolve. Remember, however, to catch any thoughts that justify the addictive behavior, sometimes with clever arguments, as they arise in your mind. Ask yourself, "Who is talking here?" And you will realize the addiction is talking. As long as you know that, as long as you are present as the observer of your mind, it is less likely to trick you into doing what it wants. Inner body awareness. Another simple but highly effective way of finding space in your life is closely linked to the breath. You will find that by feeling the subtle flow of air in and out of the body, as well as the rise and fall of your chest and abdomen, you're also becoming aware of the inner body. Your attention may then shift from the breath to that felt aliveness within you, diffused throughout the body. Most people are so distracted by their thoughts, so identified with the voices in their heads, they can no longer feel the aliveness within them. To be unable to feel the life that animates the physical body, the very life that you are, is the greatest deprivation that can happen to you. You then begin to look not only for substitutes for that natural state of well-being within, but also for something to cover up the continuous unease that you feel when you are not in touch with the aliveness that is always there but usually overlooked. Some of the substitutes people seek out are drug-induced highs, sensory overstimulation such as excessively loud music, thrills or dangerous activities, or an obsession with sex. Even drama in relationships is used as a substitute for that genuine sense of aliveness. The most sought-after cover-up for the continuous background unease are intimate relationships. A man or a woman who is going to make me happy. It is, of course, also one of the most frequently experienced of all the letdowns. And when the unease surfaces again, people will usually blame their partner for it. Take two or three conscious breaths. Now see if you can detect a subtle sense of aliveness that pervades your entire inner body. Can you feel your body from within, so to speak? Sense briefly specific parts of your body. Feel your hands, then your arms, feet, and legs. Can you feel your abdomen, chest, neck, and head? What about your lips? Is there life in them? Then become aware again of the inner body as a whole. You may want to close your eyes initially for this practice. And once you can feel your body, open your eyes, look around, and continue to feel your body at the same time. Some readers may find there's no need to close their eyes. They can, in fact, feel their inner body as they read this. Inner and outer space. Your inner body is not solid but spacious. It is not your physical form, but the life that animates the physical form. It is the intelligence that created and sustains the body, simultaneously coordinating hundreds of different functions of such extraordinary complexity that the human mind can only understand a tiny fraction of it. When you become aware of it, what is really happening is that the intelligence is becoming aware of itself. It is the elusive life that no scientist has ever found, because the consciousness that is looking for it is it. Physicists have discovered that the apparent solidity of matter is an illusion created by our senses. This includes the physical body, which we perceive and think of as form, but 99.99% of which is actually empty space. This is how vast the space is between the atoms compared to their size, and there's as much space again within each atom. The physical body is no more than a misperception of who you are. In many ways, it is a microcosmic version of outer space. To give you an idea of how vast the space is between celestial bodies, consider this. Light traveling at a constant speed of 186,000 miles or 300,000 kilometers per second takes just over 1 second to travel between the Earth and the Moon. Light from the Sun takes about 8 minutes to reach the Earth. Light from our nearest neighbor in space, a star called Proxima Centauri, which is the Sun that is closest to our own Sun, travels for 4.5 years before it reaches the Earth. This is how vast the space is that surrounds us. And then there's the intergalactic space, whose vastness defies all comprehension. The light from the galaxy closest to our own, the Andromeda Galaxy, takes 2.4 million years to reach us. Isn't it amazing that your body is just as spacious as the universe? So your physical body, which is form, reveals itself as essentially formless when you go deeper into it. It becomes a doorway into inner space. Although inner space has no form, it is intensely alive. That empty space is life in its fullness, the unmanifested source out of which all manifestation flows. The traditional word for that source is God. Thoughts and words belong to the world of form. They cannot express the formless. So when you say, "I can feel my inner body," that is a misperception created by thought. What is really happening is that the consciousness that appears as the body, the consciousness that I am, is becoming conscious of itself. When I no longer confuse who I am with the temporary form of me, then the dimension of the limitless and the eternal, God, can express itself through me and guide me. It also frees me from dependency on form. However, a purely intellectual recognition or belief that I am not this form does not help. The all-important question is, at this moment, can I sense the presence of inner space, which really means, can I sense my own presence, or rather, the presence that I am? Or we can approach this truth using a different pointer. Ask yourself, am I aware not only of what is happening at this moment, but also of the now itself as the living, timeless inner space in which everything happens? Although this question seems to have nothing to do with the inner body, you may be surprised that by becoming aware of the space of now, you suddenly feel more alive inside. You are feeling the aliveness of the inner body, the aliveness that is an intrinsic part of the joy of being. We have to enter the body to go beyond it and find out that we are not that. As much as possible in everyday life, use awareness of the inner body to create space. When waiting, when listening to someone, when pausing to look at the sky, a tree, a flower, your partner or child, feel the aliveness within at the same time. This means part of your attention or consciousness remains formless, and the rest is available for the outer world of form. Whenever you inhabit your body in this way, it serves as an anchor for staying present in the now. It prevents you from losing yourself in thinking, in emotions, or in external situations. When you think, feel, perceive, and experience, consciousness is born into form. It is reincarnating into a thought, a feeling, a sense perception, an experience. The cycle of rebirth that Buddhists hope to get out of eventually is happening continuously, and it is only at this moment, through the power of now, that you can get out of it. Through complete acceptance of the form of the now, you become internally aligned with space, which is the essence of now. Through acceptance, you become spacious inside. Aligned with space instead of form, that brings true perspective and balance into your life. Noticing the gaps. Throughout the day, there's a continuously changing succession of things that you see and hear. In the first moment of seeing something or hearing a sound, and more so if it is unfamiliar, before the mind names or interprets what you see or hear, there's usually a gap of alert attention in which the perception occurs. That is the inner space. Its duration differs from person to person. It is easy to miss because in many people those spaces are extremely short, perhaps only a second or less. This is what happens. A new sight or sound arises, and in the first moment of perception, there's a brief cessation in the habitual stream of thinking. Consciousness is diverted away from thought because it is required for sense perception. A very unusual sight or sound may leave you speechless, even inside, that is to say, bring about a longer gap. The frequency and duration of those spaces determine your ability to enjoy life, to feel an inner connectedness with other human beings as well as nature. It also determines the degree to which you are free of ego, because ego implies complete unawareness of the dimension of space. When you become conscious of these brief spaces as they happen naturally, they will lengthen, and as they do, you will experience with increasing frequency the joy of perceiving with little or no interference of thinking. The world around you then feels fresh, new, and alive. The more you perceive life through a mental screen of abstraction and conceptualization, the more lifeless and flat the world around you becomes. Lose yourself to find yourself. Inner space also arises whenever you let go of the need to emphasize your form identity. That need is of the ego. It is not a true need. We have already touched briefly upon this. Whenever you relinquish one of these behavior patterns, inner space emerges. You become more truly yourself. To the ego it will seem as if you were losing yourself, but the opposite is the case. Jesus already taught that you need to lose yourself to find yourself. Whenever you let go of one of these patterns, you de-emphasize who you are on the level of form, and who you are beyond form emerges more fully. You become less, so you can be more. Here are some ways in which people unconsciously try to emphasize their form identity. If you are alert enough, you may be able to detect some of these unconscious patterns within yourself. Demanding recognition for something you did and getting angry or upset if you don't get it. Trying to get attention by talking about your problems, the story of your illnesses, or making a scene. Giving your opinion when nobody has asked for it and it makes no difference to the situation. Being more concerned with how the other person sees you than with the other person, which is to say, using other people for egoic reflection or as ego enhancers. Trying to make an impression on others through possessions, knowledge, good looks, status, physical strength, and so on. Bringing about temporary ego inflation through angry reaction against something or someone. Taking things personally, feeling offended. Making yourself right and others wrong through futile mental or verbal complaining. Wanting to be seen or to appear important. Once you have detected such a pattern within yourself, I suggest that you conduct an experiment. Find out what it feels like and what happens if you let go of that pattern. Just drop it and see what happens. De-emphasizing who you are on the level of form is another way of generating consciousness. Discover the enormous power that flows through you into the world when you stop emphasizing your form identity. Stillness. It has been said, stillness is the language God speaks, and everything else is a bad translation. Stillness is really another word for space. Becoming conscious of stillness whenever we encounter it in our lives will connect us with the formless and timeless dimension within ourselves, that which is beyond thought, beyond ego. It may be the stillness that pervades the world of nature, or the stillness in your room in the early hours of the morning, or the silent gaps in between sounds, Stillness has no form. That is why through thinking we cannot become aware of it. Thought is form. Being aware of stillness means to be still. To be still is to be conscious without thought. You are never more essentially, more deeply yourself than when you are still. When you are still, you are who you were before you temporarily assumed this physical and mental form called a person. You are also who you will be when the form dissolves. When you are still, you are who you are beyond your temporal existence. Consciousness, unconditioned, formless, eternal. Chapter 9. Your Inner Purpose. As soon as you rise above mere survival, the question of meaning and purpose becomes of paramount importance in your life. Many people feel caught up in the routines of daily living, which seem to deprive their life of significance. Some believe life is passing them by, or has passed them by already. Others feel severely restricted by the demands of their job and supporting a family, or by their financial or living situation. Some are consumed by acute stress, others by acute boredom. Some are lost in frantic doing, others are lost in stagnation. Many people long for the freedom and expansion that prosperity promises. Others already enjoy the relative freedom that comes with prosperity and discover that even that is not enough to endow their lives with meaning. There's no substitute for finding true purpose. But the true or primary purpose of your life cannot be found on the outer level. It does not concern what you do, but what you are, that is to say, your state of consciousness. So the most important thing to realize is this. Your life has an inner purpose and an outer purpose. Inner purpose concerns being and is primary. Outer purpose concerns doing and is secondary. While this book speaks mainly of your inner purpose, this chapter and the next will also address the question of how to align outer purpose and inner purpose in your life. Inner and outer, however, are so intertwined that it is almost impossible to speak of one without referring to the other. Your inner purpose is to awaken. It is as simple as that. You share that purpose with every other person on the planet, because it is the purpose of humanity. Your inner purpose is an essential part of the purpose of the whole, the universe and its emerging intelligence. Your outer purpose can change over time. It varies greatly from person to person. Finding and living in alignment with the inner purpose is the foundation for fulfilling your outer purpose. It is the basis for true success. Without that alignment, you can still achieve certain things through effort, struggle, determination, and sheer hard work or cunning. But there's no joy in such endeavor, and it invariably ends in some form of suffering. Awakening. Awakening is a shift in consciousness in which thinking and awareness separate. For most people, it is not an event, but a process they undergo. Even those rare beings who experience a sudden, dramatic, and seemingly irreversible awakening will still go through a process in which the new state of consciousness gradually flows into and transforms everything they do, and so becomes integrated into their lives. Instead of being lost in your thinking, when you are awake, you recognize yourself as the awareness behind it. Thinking then ceases to be a self-serving, autonomous activity that takes possession of you and runs your life. Awareness takes over from thinking. Instead of being in charge of your life, thinking becomes the servant of awareness. Awareness is conscious connection with universal intelligence. Another word for it is presence, consciousness without thought. The initiation of the awakening process is an act of grace. You cannot make it happen, nor can you prepare yourself for it or accumulate credits towards it. There isn't a tidy sequence of logical steps that leads towards it, although the mind would love that. You don't have to become worthy first. It may come to the sinner before it comes to the saint, but not necessarily. That's why Jesus associated with all kinds of people, not just the respectable ones. There's nothing you can do about awakening. Whatever you do will be the ego trying to add awakening or enlightenment to itself as its most prized possession, and thereby making itself more important and bigger. Instead of awakening, you add the concept of awakening to your mind, or the mental image of what an awakened or enlightened person is like, and then try to live up to that image. Living up to an image that you have of yourself or that other people have of you is inauthentic living, another unconscious role the ego plays.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. We've just been listening to A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. I think Dave may have gotten bumped out of the chat room. We will continue this next Monday. Just because I want to share this information with you. So please, if you can, Dave just came back, actually. I saw him. I thought he got bumped out of the chat room. So if you missed the beginning, go onto the site. You can go to liferemixedradio.com. You'll see the new site that was created with past shows, so you can download it. And it's much easier than going through the whole BTR system. It's right there. But I'll continue with The New Earth next Monday, so that way you can kind of download them and save them to your computer, whatever you want to do. I just wanted to share this with you. Just really quickly, it was put in the chat room. Hyrode says, do you play with this when you go to sleep? No, I don't. I actually listen to like meditation CDs. I have a really, really good one. It's called Harps by the Sea, and it's like sounds from the beach and chords and, just really like warm and peaceful music. You know, I just try to, I don't want to go to sleep with like the TV on and all that stuff. And I really encourage my son not to go to sleep with the TV on, because I truly believe that that stuff goes into your spirit, and I don't want that stuff in my spirit when I sleep. We get enough stuff attacking our senses, hearing, smell, touch, taste, sight, that I want to kind of have as much peace as possible. I'll play the rest of it next Monday. I see B, you put in the chat room, I thought I had the wrong site. No, it's because it's being changed, that's why, and being updated. I want to make sure that when people go to Life Remixed Radio, they go to Life Remixed Radio and not something else with a lot of ads that are not relative to this show. I need people to know what they're tuning into and what they're seeing. So I'm working on putting all of this stuff and personal development and all of that stuff in one place. So what you saw was probably the beginning of that, because it's only been up a couple of days. So on that note, we'll see everybody tomorrow. We're talking politics tomorrow. You know, we talk politics on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I have a great guest, Ms. Terry Stevens. She was on the TV show Project Runway, which I love the show Project Runway, so I was so excited to have her as a guest and have her be on this show. I'm going to interview her on Wednesday. Also during March, this is a new month. Today is a new month. I'm interviewing a lot of authors. Oh, my goodness, I see Dewan just joined us in the chat room. Dewan Boyd, the engineer, not Dewan, who is the who's our Bible study person. He just joined us in the chat room. What's up, D? It's good to see you with us today. But March, I'll be interviewing a lot of authors. And then on March 20th, I'm interviewing R&B artist Case. He has a new CD coming out, so he's going to drop by the Life Remix Radio family to give us a little update on what he's been working on. And I absolutely love Case. He's one of my favorite R&B artists. So anyway, thank you for listening today. And always remember that we shall pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that we can do or any kindness that we can show to any human being, let us do it now. Let us not defer or neglect it, for we shall not pass this way again. Tomorrow, it's Politics for the Full Show. We're talking the stimulus package, and you guys know AIG just got another hunk of money within the last couple of days, and the United States government now owns an 80% stake of AIG, so we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. I love you all for listening, and I will see you soon. Last thing, Hyro says, I really prefer sounds with no words. I do, too. So anyway, I love you all for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow. Peace.